Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show on WLVL, presented by Destination Niagara USA. To be a part of today's show, call in anytime, 716-433-1433.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, and I am joined in studio for the world's greatest outdoor show with our very own Frank Campbell. Good morning, Frank. How's things today?
Good morning. I feel like I'm going to move in here. I've been here so long today.
Well, we do have a couch.
Yeah, I was taking a nap.
Yeah. Couches are good.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
So, you've been busy.
I've been a busy boy, and it's only beginning. A lot of media visits, a lot more media visits coming up, and a few media visits on top of that. So,
really?
Yes.
So, I guess it was that Aglow meeting that you had just recently, right, where all the writers and came in and from all over the country, as far away as Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, last week we had the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers media camp here. I believe they started coming in on Monday, and we got rid of them on Thursday. Out the door you go. No, we had a great time. I mean, we do these camps to, you know, offer the media and, you know, members of Aglow the opportunity to sample what we have here. And this sampling had a little bit more significance due to the fact that in 2026 we will be hosting the Aglow Conference, which is a once-a-year conference where, you know, they get together and they visit an area and they do some workshops and sample the hunting and fishing. But the significance is that you have between 100 and 150 Aglow members there, and a lot of them are media. So they're coming in. They're, writing stories. They're getting videos. They're doing TV shows, podcasts, whatever their media outlets are. They're coming in and they're promoting our area. So it's actually helping me do my job, which is promote the area. I mean, they're doing it for, why not let somebody else do the work for you?
That's right. And go to all over the country.
Yeah. And obviously you can't be in all these places and you don't have contacts or connections, you know, throughout the whole country. So you host these events, and that's exactly what we did last week. We had people from Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, Texas. I think there was one more state. I'm sorry, Wisconsin. So we had, you know, outdoor enthusiasts from all over the United States coming in and sampling what we had to offer, and Niagara County didn't disappoint. I mean, we have some of the best fishing in the country, as I've said time and time again, and that makes my job easy, is the fact that we have good fishing. And to promote something good, once you get people, you get them back. And that's our biggest, you know, our biggest, I guess, obstacle is getting people here for the first time. You know, a lot of people have gone a lot of different places and had, you know, subpar experiences. So we want them to come here. We want to have a good experience. And one way that we can convey that message is letting somebody else tell that story. It's not coming out of my mouth. It's coming out of, you know, Brent and Dan Amundsen's and, you know, Lou, I forget Lou's last name, but Lou.
Right, but third party.
Yeah, exactly.
Third party experiences. It's got to be tough, though, if someone has had a bad experience somewhere else. They probably come in with a little bitter taste in their mouth, expecting less than what we have to offer.
Sure, and I've seen that year in and year out when I was running charters or going to shows, you know, talking to the public. They're like, yeah, fishing, you know, we went to X Lake and really disappointed in not only the fishing, but, you know, there was nothing to do. It rained. We sat there in the room for 5 days with, you know, absolutely, we played cards.
Brutal.
You know, yeah, you don't want that. And we can offer that, you know, that, I would say, opportunity here to not have that happen to you. And I think that's, as I said, it's not only the people that come in fishing, but it's also the media people. I mean, once we get media people here, they want to come back. And Reason being is, number one, our fishing's good. Number two, everything that surrounds the fishing is great. I mean, we stayed down in Lewiston. We stayed at the Niagara Crossing Hotel, which we have several different, you know, great accommodations here. But it was the Niagara Crossing, which is right across from the river. But you also have stuff to do in Lewiston. You have, you know, evenings where you can go to dinner. And if you want to listen to a band, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities. And I think that's one thing that draws people back, is not only the fishing, but everything that surrounds the fishing is just as important.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have, and I've been all over the country, and I'm telling you, we have the best food anywhere in the country right here in Western New York.
It's amazing, because two of the guys have been here. They were here last February as part of a media gig for a Glow Again. We like to host camps, you know, get these guys in. And, you know, they were asking me, you know, can we get the pizza and wings? And yeah. I'm like, well, we can, but the place we got them from last year was closed, which was the Craft on 3rd Street in Niagara Falls. So we ordered them from Favorites down in Lewiston, and they were like, man, these are pretty good. You know, the pizza's pretty good. I said, it is hard to find bad pizza and wings in Western New York.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah. I'm sure there are some. I just haven't ran into them yet, you know, and especially for someone out of the area, they come here and they're like, oh my gosh, we think it's good. They think it's out of the world.
It's a delicacy. That's yeah. right.
So most nights they want pizza and wings. You know, so you got to find, you got to be able to find the pizza and wings.
Yeah, we'll just call, just ask Bill. Bill, which what place is open tonight? Who's having a special? And what's going on? And he'll direct you.
Bill's not the wing guy that he used to be. He still likes them, but I don't think he's eating them on a constant basis. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, we'll find out if he decides to call in today.
Yeah.
But, you know, interestingly enough, I say that the Amazons were here a couple different times. They were here in February to experience the winter steelhead fishing. And then they came this time of the year, and we got into some salmon and some bass and things that we didn't see. But I think that's one of the draws for these media, the opportunity to get here and to tell different stories in different settings. We can go to the Upper Niagara River. We can go to Lower Niagara River. We can go to Lake Ontario. We can go to Burt Dam. We can go to the canal. We can go to the Power Authority Reservoir. I mean, there's just ample opportunities for them to, you know, come up with fresh stories and fresh ideas. And that in itself is one of the biggest draws here, is we have so much to offer and so much different variety. These guys don't want pictures of salmon with Fort Niagara in the background every time. Yeah, it's a great picture, but if they've done it and had it and sold it, they're not going to be able to come here and do it again and sell it to, you know, the audience. What they want is they want to be able to come here and have different options and be able to sell different stories. And that's, again, one of the biggest draws is, and I heard it time and time again, you know, throughout the whole group, was the diversity. You know, we right. can't believe the diversity. We don't know what's going to be on, you know, the end of the line when we hook up with the fish. And that was, that held true last week. I mean, we caught some great salmon. Kings up to about, you know, 17, 18 pounds were caught. But there's guys that hit their personal best smallmouth fishing the same tactics, you know, running stick baits and maglips along the shoreline. They caught a 6.5 pound smallmouth was caught. You have to travel the world to catch a 6.5 pound smallmouth, and here it's a bycatch of salmon fishing. I mean, right. It was crazy, absolutely crazy.
You know, man, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, 150%. I mean, time and time again, people come here, and I got, as a matter of fact, one of the guys, Jim Wiles from Wisconsin, came here, and Wisconsin's a great fishery up there. He comes here, he gets a nice king, he gets a 5 pound smallmouth, and then a half an hour later, he gets a 6.5 pound smallmouth, all, you know, working the shoreline for brown trout. So, you know, again, that's the draw. The people just don't know what's going to be on the end of your line. Sure, there are certain things that you can do to target specific species and to make it, you know, I guess a better opportunity just to catch those species. But a lot of times things overlap, and that's what, again, is the draw, is the, you know, the different opportunities that these guys have when they come.
That's fantastic. Well, Frank, you're the draw here at the Greatest Outdoor Show, so you can call us and talk to the great Frank Campbell if you like at 433-1433. You can join us anytime during the program. Ask your questions, make your comments. 433-1433. We always welcome the calls.
Yeah, yeah, we 100% do. I mean, you know, no matter what the topic is, as long as it's outdoor related or fishing related, we can do our best to answer them. If we can't, we try to get you answers, you know, and that's the thing about Western New York. We have a lot of opportunities, not only for fishing, but hiking, biking, hunting, kayaking, whatever it may be. And I think that's what draws people here and you know, keeps people here, too, you know, the vast opportunities in the outdoors.
And you have some great recipes for lasagna, too, right?
Yeah, not so no. much there, Eric.
No, okay. You know, all right, we'll keep it to the outdoors, then.
We went through this a glow this week, and I actually have a television show scheduled for Thursday and Friday this week with Bob Redfern Outdoors from South Carolina. He's coming up. He has a TV show. So we'll do some, you know, we'll do some fishing on the Niagara River, the Lake Ontario area. And again, what's his draw? His draw is to come here, catch fish that they can't catch down south, and also catch that variety of fish. So last time he was here, probably about 7-8 years ago, you know, we caught a multitude of different species, from steelhead to lake trout to smallmouth to walleye. And, you know, he said, can we do that again? I said, as long as we put a line down, yeah, we have that chance. So,
yeah.
You know, we have him coming in, which is a big opportunity for us, because it's an area, even if it's a localized TV show, it's an area where you have the opportunity to, you know, reach that I couldn't reach. So I'm letting him tell the story. And after that, we have our May media event here, which we entertain about 20 to 25 people from the industry, probably half of them being outdoor writers, the other half being manufacturers, where we've developed an alliance with these different manufacturer partners and the different media outlets and us here in the county, where we make it a win-win-win for everyone. So the county gets promoted, the outdoor writers get their stories, and the manufacturers get the fish caught on their product. So it's a win for everybody.
It is.
It's worked really well. This has gone on for about 20 to 22 years. We have some of the biggest of the big coming in from the outdoor industry, from James Hall, the editor of Bassmaster Magazine, Todd Seisner, who is the publisher of In Fisherman, Thomas Allen, who is the digital manager over at In Fisherman. We have Matt Crawford, who does a lot for Game and Fish. You know, Larry Ladowski from Midwest Outdoors is going to be here. We have our own Bill Hiltz Jr. is going to join us a couple days to give a little local flair to it. Then we have, you know, guys from little freelance stuff, where Ken Perrott's coming in. Mike Carney, the CEO of Outdoor Sportsman's Group, coming in to do some more development on their Kayak Fishing Fun magazine. And we'll, you know, that's the partnership we have with Old Town Kayaks, which is coming in as a manufacturer. I mean, it's just a win-win-win for everyone, and we don't get that type of national exposure any other way. Mark Davis will be here from Big Water Adventures, and as a extension of this outdoor you know, visit that we're going to have, the media event, Mark's going to come in and he's going to film a show. He's going to film a show right after the event ends, so that we don't, you know, have to have the distractions of that many other people. But this will only be his second freshwater show that he's ever filmed in, you know, 200 episodes or something crazy like that. So
really, he's a saltwater guy,
yeah,
huh?
Saltwater guy, but that's a market that we would never reach.
Right.
You know, it'd be hard to reach. So I think we're trying to, you know, spread our wings a little bit and, you know, not just rely on the rubber tire market. And this is a great opportunity to do so.
Man, that's just fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the world's greatest outdoor show here on WLVL 1340 AM, streaming worldwide at WLVL.com with our very own Frank Campbell. We'll be right back after the station identification.
New York and proud of it.
Hometown 1340 WLVL, Lock Point.
All right, and we're back. That was a quick breath. And again, if you'd like to join us in this conversation, have questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, anything you want to add to it, give us a call at 433-1433, 433-1433.
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting back to the media outlets, we've also had several shows air, you know, both regionally and nationally, including we've had some episodes of In Fishman, which is filmed with locally with Vince Perleone, one of the charter captains out of Alcott. We've had Big Water Ventures with Mark Davis last year. That show just aired. We have Fishing 411, and we also have Midwest Outdoors combined. That's about 6 to 10 million potential households that we're reaching. So, you know, good stuff happening
here
in Niagara County.
That's a lot of households. Well, we happen to have a call, and it is the great William Hiltz Jr. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Is this the world's second greatest outdoor?
Oh, ouch.
We'll take it. We'll take whatever we can get around here. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Hiltz?
I'm doing fairly well.
Yeah, I know you're a little under the weather last week. You sound a little bit better.
A little bit, but, you know, it's still hanging on. Yeah. Kind of like this spring so far that we've had.
Yeah, I actually think that we started so early that we're probably a little bit more normal than what people believe, but we thought we were going to be way ahead. And, you know, it's, I think, catching up with people, the change in weather and the change back and, you know, the constant yo-yoing is catching up and make people sick. So I know that you were going to be part of the glow thing last week. Unfortunately, you were a little under the weather. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to see you next week as a part of the May media event we have here in Niagara County.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, this thing just won't let go.
Well, I heard they're catching some cohos. Does that entice you?
Yes, it does. You know, at the very least, maybe I can meet you at the ramps at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, bring coffee for cohos. Nice. Yeah, as I said, you know, you were a little under the weather last week, and you know, weren't able to attend the GLOW conference. But, you know, as we both know, there was some sad news that on the local fishing front, the passing of one of the charter captains who we were both buddies with, you know, Bob Cinelli, at the young age of 64. You know, Bob was pretty influential in a lot of things that happened here in Niagara County, and particularly in Alcott, Newfane area. You know, is there anything you want to touch on, you know, things that you can remember that Bob helped start or, you know, kept going, or important things that he did?
Well, I was listening to your program with John and Eric this morning, and you touched on a few of those things. You know, he was progressive in his thinking, and he knew that by promoting our area's fishing resources, that it was going to make a big difference, especially in the way of how we incorporate the outdoor media that you've been heavily involved with since you took over as the sport fishing promotion coordinator. And, you know, back in the early years, Bob would try to run every media guy that he could just to help get the word out there. And one story that comes to mind, one of the first writers that we had into the area was a guy by the name of Tom Hugler from Michigan. And Tom was an excellent writer, newspaper, magazine. He did books, you know, he was full time. And Bob had him out in the boat out of Alcott. I believe it was the hotline at that time.
Yep.
And Mark Vogt was his mate. One of the first fish we caught was a 30-pound spring salmon.
Wow.
Which, unbelievable. You know, you catch a 30-pound spring salmon, you just don't see those anymore. I can remember a few that were caught, you know, 30-pound 1 ounce, I think, won the spring derby 1 year. But that was a long time ago. And Bob caught that fish, and he was proud as a peacock, you know. And so you know how media guys are with their cameras and staging shots and staging the baits that were used and all these different things. Tom had a special photographer he brought in, Randy Carroll, and they staged shots like you would not believe. Well, Bob didn't understand that, you know, they were trying to just get shots of that fish. That made the whole trip. So Bob and Mark were trying to catch every fish in that lake while they were trying to take pictures, you know? So finally, Tom had to sit Bob down and say, Bob, this fish just made our trip. I can't emphasize the importance of that. You know, relax a little bit. We'll get to more fish, but, you know, just let's make this the picture fish that it deserves to be. And that fish showed up everywhere. You know, it was a cover of Great Lakes Fisherman, and it was on all kinds of other publications, you know, Outdoor Life, Field & Stream. You know, it's just like you couldn't believe how many times that picture showed up. And we got some great coverage as a result of that. And it also brought Bob into the real world of outdoor writing and really show how influential that those media people can be. You know, as we've said all along, you know, you get the endorsement of outdoor media professionals. That's better than buying advertising because you've got their endorsement. You're promoting the area that fish was caught in, and we have benefited from that through the years, you know, as a result of nearly $60 million a year economic impact just for Niagara County, which is huge. So, you know, you're doing the right thing by doing what you do. But, you know, Bob was one of those guys in the early years that really made a difference. And so thankful to him for that. And whenever we needed to run somebody, he went out of his way to take care of them. And, you know, if he had a trip in the morning, you know, he'd be willing to take somebody out in the afternoon just to make sure that they got some exposure. There was only one Bob Finelli for sure.
Oh, yeah. You could say that again. It just brought another story to mind. I mean, we talk about him, you know, he was for as easygoing off the boat as he was, sometimes he was a little bit intense on the boat. And, you know, I think that was competitive nature. Just like you said, he wanted to catch every fish in the lake. So Ray Letcher can attest to this. We are going out to fish one of the pro-ams, and I was on a team with Bob and with Roy. I don't even know who else was on the boat. But, you know, I show up in the morning, and I got my usual snacks for the day. I'd gone to Latina's and bought all this lunch meat and all this other stuff, and you know, it was going to be a day on the water, and we were going to catch some fish and eat well. And I bring the newspaper with me, and I'm like, I'm going to read this newspaper on the way out, which I love to do. I'm telling you, we got about a mile from the dock, and Bobby left the helm, grabs the newspaper out of my hand, and throws it in the lake. We don't have time for you to read the newspaper. We got to catch fish. I'm like, well, we're not even there. Roy reminds me of that story all the time. He was just like ready to go that day. And literally, I was still standing there with my like two hands spread apart as if I'm holding the paper, and it was already gone. he was like, what the heck are you doing with the newspaper? He was complaining for about a half an hour after that. We went out and we didn't win the tournament, but I'm going to tell you, we went to the Niagara Bar from Alcott, which is an 18-mile run, and we put lines in, and we couldn't keep the cohos off. And you have to keep your fish if they're legal. And we're trying to reel lines in as fast as we can because our goal was to get six cohos real fast and then concentrate on kings. But, you know, we got these cohos, and we've got doubles, triples on. And now we're trying to get the lines out of the water as fast as we could reel. And we couldn't reel them fast enough. The cohos were biting them as we're reeling them in. We ended up getting 11 cohos out of that flurry and one king, and ended up back at the dock waiting to go weigh in by, I think, 7:45. We were already done, had every fish we needed, so it was crazy. But I'm going to say that was a good luck newspaper that day. We ended up in the top 10, but it wasn't exactly our plan. You know, that was one of the funny stories I remember about Bob was, you know, when he snatched the newspaper right out of my hand as I'm reading it, was not going to tolerate it.
I do remember that day because I was running the tournament at the time, and I don't remember him throwing the newspaper in, which it was probably one of my columns. That's why he threw it in. But I remember you guys were back to the dock at like 7:45.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think your fishing started at 6:30 or 6:30. So to come up with your legal tournament limit that quick is relatively rare.
Yeah, well, you think about it, it took us probably 35 minutes to get there. And we literally had all these fish in 15 or 20 minutes. We put them out and just started. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was mayhem. And, you know, just one of the good memories that we had, you know, as I said earlier on the other show, the other thing that I remember most about Bob was because I did first mate with him during the summer when I didn't have a bass trip. I would help him out by first mating. And I think a couple times I had to remind him that I'm helping you out, Bob, as much as you're helping me here. Cause he'd like to sit up in his chair and give me the instructions. And I was like, you're acting like you're Marlon Perkins and I'm Jim from the show doing all the work here, buddy. But we would go out and we would catch fish and one spoon would be hot. And I'm telling you, that boat, I don't think the ropes were tied up and I was still cleaning. And he was over at the boat doctor's buying every spoon they had of that particular hot spoon that day. And again, I don't know if it was to keep everyone else from getting that spoon or if it was to just have the supply of a lifetime. But he would literally go and buy 24 spoons of the hot spoon of the day just about every day. It was crazy.
I think it was a combination of both. He wanted to make sure that he had that spoon for however long it worked. So, you know, he was that kind of guy.
No doubt.
Sorry.
Yep.
You know, there's so many stories that you can tell about Bob. And as I mentioned earlier, he was very innovative and forward-thinking, and he was involved intimately with DEC. Were you around for the Lake Ontario Fisheries Congress that we had?
Just the beginning. I was. You know, we owe a lot of, you know, they went and fought the fight before it was kosher to go fight the fight.
Sure, and that's, you know, Bob had the year of DEC, and whenever they were thinking about making some changes, they would want to know what his thoughts were. So, you know, having Bob as a spokesperson for the fishing community was important. And, you know, he grew up under the wings of guys like Skip Hartman. And even Rod Headley. You know, Rod was a guy that followed the science and had documentation for just about everything that happened with that lake ever since they stocked the first salmon back in 1968. So, you know, Bob listened to them, he talked to them, and you know, at times I thought he fought like a fish. You know, he could you know where those fish are going to be and how they're going to hit and figure things out.
Yeah, totally.
You know, one story that comes to mind was we had one of those lake rollovers out in Lake Ontario, and fish were scattered. And they were tough to come by. The fish didn't know where they wanted to be. And Bob went out that day, and he could only find five fish, but they were all over 30 pounds.
Wow.
And he was happy with how that turned out, because, you know, through his network of talking to different people, nobody was doing anything. Well, it just so happens that the customers he had on board the boat that day were from Ohio and are used to limit catches. Well, five salmon isn't a limit catch. So they wanted a discount on their charter. So Bob says, listen, I'll tell you what. If you can find another boat on the lake that matches our catch today, I'll give you all your money back. And they took their catch, and they never came back. They were upset. But Bob knew that he delivered. He was able to figure out exactly what those fish wanted, and he caught the ones that were available.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, he did have a vast network when it came to, you know, talking to the other captains and talking to even recreational anglers. I mean, I think he was actually the one that helped make sure that New York State had a 31-pound steelhead as their record catch. I believe he stopped the guys from cleaning it at the cleaning station, if I'm thinking correctly.
Yes, yes, that happened. Him along with the local conservation officer, I want to say it was Matt Pestinger, and they were able to convince the guy that it wasn't a salmon, it was a steelhead. And Mike Wilkinson is the DEC fish biologist that came down to verify the species, and 31 pounds, 3 ounces.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Rob is his first name. He was from Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I just came across that picture not too long ago, and I think I'm going to do a blog on it.
Yeah, it's pretty yeah. crazy. You know, just happened to be at the right place at the right time and was like, I don't know if you want to cut that, buddy. That could be the potential state record. And it was a state record by several pounds, if I'm correct.
Oh, the previous record was, if memory serves me correct, 26 pounds, 15 ounces.
Yeah. So it had a
and
four.
And this was 31.3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And I haven't heard of a steelhead bigger in any of the Great Lakes.
No, I think it is a Great Lakes record.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one heck of a fish, you know. So I guess that guy owes his fame to Bob being in the right place at the right time, no doubt.
Sure. And, you know, Bob was involved with so many things through the years. And he was on the Fisheries Development Board, which you know. He was on the County Derby Board. He was involved with the Pro-Am Salmon Team Tournament. He used to help out with the Fish Odyssey. And you had mentioned this morning that he helped initiate the VIP fishing days that we have to get our elected officials and county leaders out on the water to understand firsthand what it's all about. And he looked at the big picture, which
yep.
was important. You know, and one of our good friends was Dr. John Syracuse. And Dr. John, when he first moved into the area, his first exposure to a charter captain was fishing with Bob. So, you know, that just helped form a special friendship. As you know, Dr. John was a county legislator for a number of years. He's now the town supervisor for the town of Newfane. And he also helped get that VIP fishing day going by working with Bob. So, you know, it's Bob was always making inroads, no matter where he went, what he was involved with. You know, one of his good friends was Rob Ray with the Buffalo Sabres. And through Rob, we created the Buffalo Sabres Alumni Charity Fishing Outing. And that ran for, you know, I don't know how many years, until COVID hit.
Yep.
So, you know, that was another way to put Alcott on the map and help generate some exposure, important exposure, for the Western New York community. So, you know, I can go on and on about all these different things that Bob had.
Yeah, he was definitely, you know, a lot of what you said was, you know, what I'm thinking is, you know, a forward-thinking leader as far as the fishing community was involved. And, again, he was more than happy to, you know, help out the recreational anglers at the dock as much as he was the other captains when it came to information and, you know, kind of what they should be doing. So, going to be sorely missed, but I don't think easily forgotten is a good way to look at it.
Yeah, you know, I can go on and on with all the different stories, but to give you an idea what kind of guy Bob was, we had it was one of the first charity fishing outings with the Buffalo Sabres alumni, and we had to grab a bunch of different charter guys. You know, it was specifically held right before the Pro-Am tournament so that we had a lot of boats to choose from. And Bob handpicked which boats were going to participate. So we did the Buffalo Sabres alumni event. It was a success. Everybody caught fish, had a good time. So as a payback to the captains who helped out, Bob had somebody drive to Maine, buy 100 lobster tails, and bring them back, and we cook them up in Crow Park. And that was his way of saying thank you to the captains that were involved. Of course, not all the captains knew that Bob was doing that. They thought it was just a cookout. So not all the captains showed up. So, you know, I might have ate a few more lobsters than everybody else.
Is that when you got lobster poisoning that one time?
No, it could have been. It could have been. And then, you know, we had the Pro-Am tournament going on, and Brian Smith from Indiana was in town filming some Pro-Am shows as part of Angling the Great Lakes. And we had a couple separate lobster parties that we held. And this is when I was first starting to go out with my current wife, Sandy. So she thought I ate lobster every single day.
Well, yeah, you lived high off the hog. We all know that. There's a lobster loose.
There was a lobster loose, all right, in Alcott. So, yeah, you know, a lot of great memories with Bob.
Yeah, and no doubt. And I think, you know, if you sat in a room with all the guys that he's, you know, touched over the years, you'd probably have to take a couple weeks to listen to all these stories. And, you know, it's sad. You know, again, his impact on the local fishery is going to be, you know, outlive the both of us, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know, you have to mention Captain Vince Pierleone along with Bob because they worked hand in hand together for many, many years. They started around the same time. So they have a lot of shared memories together. But one that I remember was they tag teamed Vince and Bob taking out Jeff Frischkorn for a spring salmon outing. And they were experimenting with some different things with body baits and different kinds of spoons. And they were pounding salmon. So Jeff didn't know how to deal with all that. His arms were getting tired. So, you know, he writes for Ohio newspapers. And finally he just said, I need a break. He sat down, pulled a little cooler out from underneath the seat, and sat down and had a lunch while these guys were still catching salmon after salmon after salmon. Made me chuckle. That's the way Jeff was, but that's the way Bob and Vince were when they worked together.
Yeah, it'd be a scary program that they could definitely put together.
Oh, geez. You know, and they did work well together. You know, they went to a tournament over in Michigan that I had the good fortune of going along with them. I served as their observer, and it was Bob, Vince, Doug Van Tassel from Erie, Pennsylvania, and Mike Keenan from the Rochester area. And they fished in one of the pro-am tournaments out of Lake Michigan, out of Ludington and Manistee. And I think they would have really done well, except it was restricted to only one day. Mm. And it took them that day to figure it out. They did figure it out. They still placed in, I believe it was the top 10. But had it been a two-day event, they would have been top three, if not won the tournament. So, you know, geez, those guys could figure it out for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's interesting because Vince and Bob are both pretty strong personalities, you know. to say the least. And I could see where they could, you know, be like, well, we got to do this. We got to do this. Well, we should be doing this. And, you know, not a lot of knowledge, there. And, you know, it was implementing that knowledge probably took some time between those two is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and you know, we've been talking about the fishing, but he also liked hunting. And I had the pleasure of doing a lot of waterfowl hunting with him in the Finger Lakes. We would go goose hunting and duck hunting and have an absolute blast for, you know, a couple days at a time. Yeah. He also loved deer hunting.
Yeah.
And Brian Smith that we talked about earlier, he sent me a picture of a real nice buck that Bob shot in Indiana.
Yeah, and it was on Mark Smith's farm. He had talked to me about it as Bob had passed when they were here. And, you know, he brought up some stories about how Bob and I think Eric Bickle actually went out there and hunted Mark's farm, and Bobby got a giant out there.
Yeah, so, you know, anything outdoors, Bob was involved. We shot on a winter skeet league together at the 3F Club down in Lewiston. And a lot of fun there, especially when we're out there trying to shoot skeet when the winds were like 35 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour. Absolutely crazy. But we had a blast in all our outdoor experiences for sure.
That's I think the biggest thing is you could take away a lot of memories from, you know, all the stuff that we did over the years, from, you know, Christmas to you know, being out on the water. And, you know, I think that's what keeps people living on even after they pass, is all the good memories and all the, you know, all the fun times that you had together.
Yeah, and you know, for a number of years, he fished the Lower Niagara River with you.
Mm-hmm.
And when he first started out, he didn't have a boat. So he used mine. I had an 18-foot Grumman. We had a 90 Yamaha on the back. And it just, it was marginal for running trips out of it until he finally got a Lund with a much bigger motor. But, you know, back in those early years,
that was the boat.
You know, he figured it out. He was able to do what he wanted to do, and that was the boat that took out Dr. John Syracuse. So, yeah, memories that we'll never forget for sure.
Yeah, 100 times over, no doubt about it. You know, we just got to remember the good times, and rest in peace, Bob.
Yeah, and I appreciate you doing a show this morning that highlighted just a little bit about who Captain Bob Cinelli was. You know, there's so many things behind the scenes that people never saw, didn't realize he was involved with or helped initiate, and you know, that's very much appreciated, because people need to remember Bob for who he was and what he did for the outdoor community.
And a lot of it was his way of doing things was not letting people know that he was behind a lot of that. And I think that's what, you know, that's the way he liked to handle things. He liked to be that silent, silent contributor or silent, partner in a lot of this, you know, positive stuff that he had an impact on in the fishing community.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't looking for credit or awards or accolades. He just wanted to make sure it was done and that it was done right.
No, I have to agree with that. I have to agree with that, Bill.
Well, I'm going to let you guys go and finish up your second greatest outdoor show.
I got one quick question for you as a sideline. You know that we're stocking the fish. The pens are going in. We're having big problems with cormorants. And I know we only have a few minutes left, but I did see where the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is talking about taking sturgeon off the endangered list. You know, do you think that that opens the door to something like taking the cormorants off the endangered list?
You know, that might be one approach when you reach out to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Use that as an example. You know, they're considered a migratory bird. And yep. As a result, they're part of how they handle migratory treaties and the rules and regulations that are in place. You know, somehow the Canadians were able to get the cormorant off that migratory bird listing, and there's actually a season for them.
Yep.
So yes, I think that could be opening the door to allow you to be able to do more with trying to manage and control these birds, because they're definitely out of control.
Yeah, I have to agree with you 100%, Bill. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. You know, it was great talking to you, and especially reliving some of the Bob Cinelli memories. I hope to get the feeling better. I hope we see you next week, and, you know, maybe we'll, I can't say we'll have some lobsters for you, but maybe have a chicken wing or two.
Oh, that sounds good. Hey, thanks a lot, right. Eric and
thanks,
Frank.
Bill. Hope you feel better.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll talk
Bye-bye.
To you soon. Yep. Oh, my goodness. Well, just for Bill.
Everybody get out of here. There's a lobster loose. Oh, holy cow, he's loose. Everybody get out of here. He's vengeful. Quickly, cover yourselves with hot butter and carry lemons just in case. You have to squirt them with it and so forth and repel them. Everybody get out of here.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, and that lobster's in trouble.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning. Hope you enjoyed this morning's program with Frank Campbell, and we're going to do it again in a month or so, right, Frank?
Yes, sir.
All right. Talk to you soon, folks.